I'm Rick Sanchez. I've been doing news now for 30 years in two languages all over the world. Here in the United States, interviewed four U.S. presidents. I've also worked for several U.S. major television networks. And I believe, after all of that, that news should be honest and direct and impactful. That's why we call this Direct Impact. There is a sentiment prevailing in America that seems to be shared by more and more people with each passing day. And what is it? Well, it's a frustration, really, that's melding into an all-out distrust of our nation's institutions and what many would call the establishment. It's almost as if within the soul of America, there's a bubbling disturbance that goes something like this.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You know, nowhere is that more true than with younger Americans right now. Why? Because Americans under, let's say, 40 are coming of age at a time when they have less power as workers than their mom or their dad or even their grandparents. If you are a worker in America today, for example, you tend to be treated by the company that you work for as disposable. Right? You could be fired without explanation, and you'll likely be replaced by a part-timer or a freelancer. See, in the past, there were union rights and sanctioned employment rights that the government set. Today, not so much. And staying on the economic front, if we could, consumers, both young and old, are also feeling pinched, lied to, manipulated, and offered fewer and fewer choices. Why? Well, what I'm talking about is consolidation. It's a trend that is taking over the entire country. A few companies, with the help of hedge funds and private equity firms, are amassing enough money to buy out entire industries, essentially buying out the competition, right? So where there used to be many of everything, today there are only a few. In 2005, the United States had 9 major airlines. Now we have 4. You notice the way you're treated when you fly these days? Better or worse? You answer that. 80% of Americans can't choose their own internet provider. Why? The government chooses for us. And it's usually Comcast, AT&T, or Time Warner, who also own much of the news that you're allowed to get. In 1990, 5 banks held 10% of all banking assets. Today, they hold 45% of all banking assets. And by the way, the same thing is happening with the insurance business, hospitals, grocery stores, and I could go on. By the way, as fewer companies drive prices up higher and higher because they have less competition and can do so, they can get away with it, the percentage of those with more wealth is getting smaller and smaller. That's right. Fewer people have more of the pie. In fact, did you know? 20% of Americans now own 86% of the entire country's wealth. 20% with 86%. That's a big nut. Now, you would think, right, that given that obvious disparity, our media would speak out about it and come to our defense. Nope. You know why? Well, because what is it about the corporate media? What does corporate mean? Because they too are owned by the richest of the rich. How about our political leaders and our government agencies? Aren't they supposed to look out for us against things like this? Of course they are. But do they? No. Because they too are bought off, essentially. You see, when they vote to create a new law or a policy, what they tend to consider first and foremost isn't you. It's the corporations and the multimillionaire donors who fund their campaigns. Oh, sure, there is occasional pushback.
I take no lecture on asking patriotic Americans to weigh in and contribute to this fight from those who would grovel and bend knee for the lobbyists and special interests who own our leadership, who have, oh, boo all you want, who have hollowed out this town and have borrowed against the future of our future generations.
But in the end, the big corporations get exactly what they want, more and more of our money from your elected officials, which they legally get by being bought off.
there will be no government shutdown.
In fact, let me share something with you. You want to know how disconnected American voters are today from the people that they elect? Get this. 85% of congressional districts in the United States are now generally considered safe. Safe. That means that once they get into office, most members of Congress can stay there almost as long as they like. Even when they get like this. Senator Dianne Feinstein literally died in office at the age of 90. Now, she gets props for hanging in there, right? But 90? Really? How connected do you think she was? Look at her, to the average millennial who is against our endless wars and our corrupt political system, who keeps people like her, God bless her, in power. In fact, there is no greater disconnect than how young Americans are stuck with the very people they generally despise than the slew of recent polls that show that the vast majority of all Americans disapprove of their elected officials. Gallup polls even show that as many as high a number as 90% of Americans 90% disapprove of Congress. Think about that. 90% of Americans say they don't like Congress. Yet 85% of the members of Congress keep their jobs almost for life. How's that happen? Is that how a democracy is supposed to work? To have this conversation, we're joined by Dr. Wilmert Leon, who I have a feeling he talks about this a lot. That's a disparity in this country between people who feel like just things aren't right, and most of them are younger, and they don't seem to have a voice. And that's why we're calling this the silent majorities. Dr. Leon hosts Inside the Issues on Sirius XM channel 126. Do you get the sense, like I do, when I talk to my kids and when I talk to my kids' friends, that especially, and I use the word kids, but really people who are younger in the United States, whatever the hell you want to call them, Gen X or millennials or whatever, that they feel disconnected, but they don't really express it publicly. But when you talk to them privately, you get a sense that they're kind of getting really fed up with all the BS, even if they can't put their exact finger on it. Did I explain it correctly?
I think you did. And there's an incredible irony here, Rick, because if you talk about the young silent majority and where that term actually originated, it was Richard Nixon back in 72 that talked about the America's youth and those who were born during or after World War II, and they were more socially conscious, more politically aware, better educated than their parents.
And racist.
And then in 72, they propelled him to the White House because they were engaged. Yeah. And now we see, because for them, there was an American dream.
Yeah.
There was a hope and a vision.
And by the way, those people you just described that Nixon called the silent majority, they hated the young people. They hated the women's movement. They hated what was going on in the South with African Americans.
Right.
And they wanted to somehow. In fact, that's what changed American politics, because the South used to be Democrat and now the South is Republican. When Nixon came out and told all the white people in the South, hey, you got to vote for us because we don't like Negroes.
Right. There you go. There you go. And so now, because this American dream and the vision of so many of the youth is fading, now you find conservatives are losing their traction in 2016 and 2020, 36% of 18 to 29 year olds voted for Trump. Last year, 63% of them voted for Democrats. So this dynamic is shifting because America, the American empire, is waning and capitalism is failing them.
Is it really? What I get a sense when I talk to younger people, my kids and their friends who come over for backyard barbecues, is that they don't give a crap about party affiliation, and they think both parties are extremely corrupt. And whether you're talking about Joe Biden, who they think is half asleep, and why is grandpa even in control here? Or, you know, the vileness of the guy who he preceded, or preceded him, I should say. They don't care. They just figure all of these wars, all of this crap, all of these bankers, all of these billionaires, all of the rights that I'm losing as a worker, the lack of security that I have at my job, this is wrong, and no one's doing anything about it, and it's not a Democrat or a Republican thing. That's what I get from them. You say what?
No, I say you're absolutely right, because they're done with the rhetoric and they want results. They see that, what was it, I think it was CBS News, homes unaffordable in 99% of the nation for the average American. The things that their parents and our parents were relying on, such as the ability to buy a home, the ability to have a pension, the ability to retire, the ability to get educated and not have to go and hock for the rest of your life in order to achieve it, those things are failing them. And so they don't care who's sitting there. They want to see results.
And yet, this is an amazing study that I brought up in my intro. Something like 89% of Americans disapprove consistently. 80 to 90% of Americans consistently disapprove of Congress. They detest them. We're talking about all Americans, old, young, whatever. And yet, listen to this. 80 to 90% of the people in Congress keep their jobs for decades. Many of them run unopposed, and many of them frickin' die in office in their 90s. How can those two things be? And what the hell does it say about democracy or lack thereof?
Because what we don't have one person, one vote that matters in America now. What we are finding is the elite benefactors that are padding those campaign coffers. Those are the individuals that the representatives are representing and the interest that they're speaking to. So Joe Biden can come out and tell you, oh, I want to be the greatest labor president ever. And then when it comes to the railroad worker strike, he sides with the railway companies.
Well, listen, just remember this about Joe Biden. Joe Biden's from Delaware. Do you know what Delaware is? Delaware is the place.
It's the corporate America.
It's the home of corporate America. It's where people go when they want politicians to pass laws to make sure that their assets grow. I mean,
hence,
how can you call
the
this
elite
guy a communist?
It's like the interests of the elite are who our so-called our elected officials are representing.
Wilmer Leon, good doctor, hosts Inside the Issues on Sirius XM Radio Channel 126. My friend, thank you so much for
this
enlightening conversation. Very grateful.
Look forward to the next one.
By the way, I'd like to continue this conversation with you, and we can do it on Twitter. My handle there is Rick Sanchez TV, X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. I'll see you there. So, when we come back, how have Americans' opinions changed about what we should do regarding the funds that we're sending or maybe shouldn't send to Ukraine? We'll be right back. There is a quiet and brewing frustration, no doubt, in America, and it has to do with the feeling of powerlessness, especially among the young. In all respects, that powerlessness comes from a lack of meaningful choice. Big institutions don't have to be responsive to us because we can't penalize them by going and doing business with somebody else, say a competitor, for example. We also can't use anyone else to keep them in check for us, because both our media and our elected officials, well, they simply won't. Okay, let's talk about this with Jamarl Thomas. I do sense there is something going on in America where there is this young vote. They don't watch cable news. They don't watch traditional news. They don't read the New York Times. They go to their own place. Nobody knows they're there. That's why I say they're very silent, but they're pissed. They don't like what's going on in America. And I'll give you an example of thousands of young people, most of them Jewish, by the way, at Grand Central Station in New York, and they're willing to be arrested. And they're the voices for peace. They're pro-Palestinian, arguing that we need to get Israel to essentially do some kind of ceasefire. They got no coverage. I didn't see this story. I didn't see this video on CNN or Fox or anywhere else. A couple of little stories on, you know, here and there. And it tells you that their movement is generally ignored by the so-called media in this country. And I think that's a part of the problem.
Agreed. 1,000% agreed. Now, keep in mind, U.S. policy at this point is going against what they basically want. I mean, that's part and parcel to the reason why those people are being ignored. And you're right. They're willing to be arrested for it. If you look at Joe Biden's polling, he dropped like 10 points over the course of a month. And a lot of that has to do with basically his one-to-one with Israel, regardless of what's going on behind the scenes. What it looks like is they've just murdered 8,000 people, half of which were children. And Joe Biden is standing arm in arm, basically giving it the okay. Not just giving it the okay, even going so far as to question the numbers coming out of Palestine. Up to this point, nobody has ever questioned the numbers in this case. This is not going to work well for Joe Biden. And just like the Muslim population that's in Michigan right now, the youth vote is going to be very angry about the position that Joe Biden has taken on this. Agreed.
But it's not just, okay, so now we're going through the situation between Israel and Palestine, another Mideast conflict, although this one looks like it's going to get hotter.
Yeah.
But before this, there was Iraq. And before Iraq, there was Afghanistan. And before Afghanistan, there was Vietnam. And during all of those, there was also Syria and Libya and Yemen. And nobody knows this who is over 60 or 70 because they're watching Fox News, CNN and NBC and all that crap. But for some reason, I believe young people, they know about this.
Oh, they know.
And they're keeping score, but no one's keeping score of them. Did I get that right?
You did get that right. And, you know, the wild part about it, for the last three election cycles, the youth vote has been massive. I mean, usually, looking at you, Bernie Sanders, the youth vote is flaky, right? It's like, if that's the expectation that you're dependent upon, the youth vote doesn't typically show up. Well, the last election was the largest youth vote going back for 30 years, with the exception of maybe 1 year. I think it was like 2018 might have been the offlier or the outlier.
But let me counter you. Larger, but not large.
Right.
Compared to old people, I'm sorry, young people, those of you who are listening to this, to my the sound of my voice, and you live in America, when it comes to voting, you suck. You generally don't vote in this country. You don't. I'm sorry. I mean, yeah, maybe a little more lately, but a little more is still not a lot.
Well, 14%. I mean, I think the last election, 14% of the ballots cast were for the youth vote.
Woohoo! 14%. Wow, how impressive. No!
But to play devil's advocate.
But wait, can you blame them? Wait. Now I'm going to defend them. I just told young people their voting sucks, but now I'm going to defend them. Can you blame them when their choices are Trump and Biden?
Agreed.
1,000% agreed. When they love a guy named Bernie Sanders and the Democratic Party comes in and says, no, Bernie, sorry, we're removing you, ipso facto, what are they voting for?
That's the operative question, right? I mean, Democrats, when they're looking at the voting thing, they think to themselves, okay, we have the youth vote, they have nowhere else to go. The problem is those people can stay home, which is what many of them do. And it's like, okay, well, what are you offering them? The high school loan thing or the college loan thing fell apart. Joe Biden gave a half-hearted push for it and got killed in the courts. If you're looking at the marijuana legislation, that also failed. And so you're looking at things like climate change, and those are the things that the Democrats tend to focus on. But when you get into, they would need not just messaging, but actual action, whether that's on economic relief, meaning income inequality, whether that's on the marijuana legislation and putting all of these people in jail, whether that's on climate change, is something taking place. Democrats are pushing on that one. But the reality of it is, if you are trying to get the youth vote, you need to tailor not just what you are messaging, but what you are doing for that vote. And the honest truth is, I don't know what they have to vote for. You have Joe Biden in one sense. You have Donald Trump.
No. We don't even need to go there. I mean, I know where you're about to go. Here's why they don't vote, because they have no one to choose, and all these, it's the same people. And basically, in many ways, when you're voting for a Democrat or a Republican, what the hell is the difference?
Yeah.
They're both for Iraq. They're both for this chaos. They're both for a foreign policy that's just never-ending wars. Yeah. So what the hell is the difference? But here's what I think is important. And it's the same reason as you and I have discussed before why we have octogenarians and centenarians as our leaders, you know, and why people die in office at the age of 90 and yeah. stuff like this. It's because the system is set up in such a way, and I want to know if you agree with me on this, the system, and of course, what the hell's a system? I mean, I'm not one of these guys who goes around going deep state, but there is a system, a political system in place which is corrupt,
yes.
and it's corrupted by companies and people who are very wealthy who prefer to have certain types of politicians in place.
Of course.
And those politicians that they want in place are the Pelosis, are the Bidens, are the Trumps, are the Mitch McConnells. These people who are controllable.
Yeah.
And they don't want young people to vote because young people will tend to put alternatives in there that don't do what they want them to do. Am I wrong?
You are completely right. I mean, if you think back to when Sanders was running, I think it was Sanders had like 70% of the youth vote going to him. He had more of that yeah. vote than Trump and Biden had combined. Wasn't even close. And the reality of it is our system functions on cash. I mean, 90% of the people who are elected or 90% of the people who win are decided with the most cash. You don't even need to know the party name.
You're wrong. In this case, it wasn't about the cash. It was about the Democratic establishment. Bernie had plenty of cash.
Bernie
had no lack of cash. The Democratic Party says, no, we don't want Bernie there. We want Biden there. No. We want Hillary there.
No, what I mean by that is
they chose who we get to vote for. No, that's not a democracy.
What I mean by that is the way the system is organized, it's organized around who gets the most cash. And I understand Bernie Sanders had a lot of cash. I'm just talking about the way the system functions. Take out the presidential elections for a moment. 90% of the races are chosen by the side with the most cash. 70% of the time that Republicans and Democrats spend are calling for cash. They're basically dialing for dollars. And so, yeah, understand that Sanders had a huge amount of money, but the way the system operates, that system based on who can earn the most money. And by definition, if you're getting that money, you're getting that money for a particular reason. They're not going to give you a huge amount of cash if you're going to go in and do things that are against their interests.
What do we have to do to try and somehow make those alternative voices, that silent majority, matter more in this country? I would love to see them matter more because I tend to agree with much of what they're saying. It's not revolutionary. It's just, let's not be so corrupt. Let's not let money control the system. And let's stop these endless wars. Wow. Crazy stuff, right?
Yeah,
and
shocking stuff.
That ain't happening because how do we get their voices heard? How does this change, if ever, if it can, Jamal?
Well, the sad part of it is it's a feedback mechanism on some level. The people don't necessarily, or those voters, feel disenchanted. And then because they feel disenchanted, they're less inclined to actually vote or go to the polls. And honestly, I'm not even sure voting is really the issue. I mean, a lot of this stuff has to do with movements and the way that those movements shape and change our political space. I strongly suspect that what needs to take place is going to take place outside of our political system. And what they mean is movements. If you look back to the Iraq War, you look back to the Vietnam War, you look back to any kind of economic change in regards to the issue of race.
Yeah.
That stuff was movements outside of the political space that got accommodated.
But the media wasn't so corrupt. Walter Cronkite went on the air and said, this must stop.
Yep.
There's no Walter Cronkite out there today. Who's going to do it? Anderson Cooper, who's wearing a cheerleading outfit right now, reporting from Israel, literally with the pom-poms. Yay, go, kill, kill, kill. I mean, who in the corporate or institutional media in the CBSs of the world will stand up and say our endless wars must stop and we shouldn't use our military to kill innocent people? Who's going to say that? Nobody.
Nobody's going to say that. But there's one difference. Social media.
So when you say movement, the movement, how does that movement coalesce? Who does it talk to? How does it organize? I'm curious.
I would argue social media. I mean, social media is a new quirk and all of that. It's like, you don't have Walter Cronkite, but the moment that something happens around the world, you literally have a camera that you could see it for yourself. And it's heartbreaking. I mean, if we're looking at the war this time around, you could see everything that's basically happening on the ground as it happens. It is hard to keep, let's say, the American population, especially the youth, from seeing that. And when they see that, they're going to have a reaction to that. I think the thing in New York that you
there's
mentioned.
There's nothing, and I take your point. There is, and I think it's a good one. Few things in the world are more democratizing than the instancy,
yes,
the currency of news in its raw state.
Right.
And if the technology out there is not bought and sold, that is used in social media by billionaires who want to control it, then there is an opportunity that can coalesce the voices, the people, the power to somehow bring about change. And I guess we'll leave it at that. See, on an optimistic note. Jamal Thomas, always an absolute delight talking to you. You're smart, you're kind, you know, it's really nice. You've got a sense of, you've got your finger on the pulse of the American people, and I think that's an important thing for us to be able to have discussions about from time to time. Thank you, my friend.
Oh,
be good.
Thank you, Rick.
Hey, before we go, I'd like to remind you of our mission here. It's simple, really. I want to de-silo the world. That's what we want to do. We've got to stop living in these little boxes where people only hear their own truths or what they think are truths. You see, truths don't live in boxes. They're everywhere. I'm Rick Sanchez. I'll be looking for you again right here, where I hope to provide a direct impact.